The previous program was The Gary Knowles Show, heard Monday through Friday at noon. It's now 1 p.m. Stay tuned for The Positive Mind. Coming up, stay tuned.
Everybody, welcome back to The Positive Mind, and this is the sound of a positive mind going right here, right now. It's hard not to be positive when this is going on. As the sound in your head, maybe replacing that tape in your head about how bad a person you are, all the bad things you've done, bad things you think. Maybe just put in this music instead, and you'll get a positive mind. You know, yesterday we talked about music as a reset button. We've always had music here in the middle of our show just to kind of reset you and us. So let the sound go down deep. Let it go in that middle ear and get into your belly and into your mind. And let yourself feel. If you're having trouble feeling in your life, if you've been out of touch with your feelings, you can use music to get there. How about it, guys? Are you guys feeling anything right now?
Yeah, Kevin, I think this is so soothing, so orienting.
You feel good?
It's really good. It's really beautiful.
Believe it or not, this is live in our studio right now. And it sounds great, Kevin.
Yeah. We have Katie Down in the office here. Katie Down in the studio. Who, amongst other things, is a music therapist. And a licensed creative arts therapist. And, you know, we wanted to talk more about how sound can become your friend. How you can use sound to make yourself feel good and the people around you good. So let's get the conversation going. Yesterday we talked about, yes, a reset button. We talked about polyvagal theory. And Nasima, bring us up to date on polyvagal theory, and then we're going to have Katie join us.
Right. So remembering that polyvagal theory is saying that through social engagement, we can start to mitigate either the fight or flight or a severe sort of shutdown freeze.
Yeah.
And it's through starting to socially engage through our senses, through listening, through seeing, through speaking, that we can start to unfreeze or come down from that sympathetic fight or flight. And this drone is like, it's like,
I'm ready
like
for
syrup.
I'm ready for social engagement.
Yeah,
you know,
it just sort of draws you.
You know, if you have a hard time socially engaging, try some music and then get yourself primed.
Right. So I just wanted to say I met Katie a few months ago. She's sort of in the same world as me in the sense that we both do polarity therapy and you know have an understanding of you know sort of the harmonics of the body and. I'm so happy she was able to come and bring her beautiful instruments, and she's going to be playing again later. So,
hey, Katie, say hi to our WBAI audience.
Yeah.
Welcome to The Positive Mind.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you are a music therapist. How do you help people? I feel helped already.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We're just going to go right to it because our audience is right in a mellow place. Mm. And they may be, I guess they're probably more receptive now to what you're going to say. So Let's start with how you help people.
Well, it's certainly it's a privilege to be in the profession of helping, we do our best to help as therapists, as psychotherapists, as sound practitioners, as healing arts practitioners, and the people that come to me, they come for various reasons. As we unpack our grief, our anxiety, our depression, pain, physical and or emotional, the music can be a way in to allow those authentic feelings to come to the surface and be processed and held by the music. And then, of course, over time, hopefully music will also be a soothing mechanism, a containing mechanism for continued well-being.
Do you get a lot of weeping in your practice? I mean, the music to me, I mean, this just brings out emotions. And I would think for somebody who's depressed or somebody who's really has a hard time communicating, music would open up the floodgates. I mean, can you talk a little bit about helping people who, have trouble with their emotions?
Sure, sure. I think we all have trouble sometimes.
Good, it's not just me.
or me.
How about you, Nancy?
Oh, yeah, me too.
Okay,
me
too. So it's all good. Yeah.
So, our emotional landscape is complex, and music can help us to feel safe as we start to look at the complexity of our emotions, and life can be very challenging at times.
Yeah.
And it's a long journey, and there are times when we're feeling great and other times when we're feeling really not so great, to put it bluntly. The music can help create a sense of safety and a sense of moving through the processes, certainly in the psychotherapeutic realm. So. Mm. You know, we use music in so many different ways as music therapists. So it's not just to soothe, although that may be one of the goals. Mm-hmm. It is also used to really give space and allowance for the authentic feelings to take place in the room. Mm.
You gave a beautiful, before we came on, description to me about what a therapist in general does about this container and space idea. So I'd love you to share it with the audience. Like, how is it you create space and become a container for your clients?
It's it's a process in terms of creating that sense of safety, and it starts in a way with the first intake. It starts with the phone consultation, even before you meet face to face. So as a music therapist, I might even start to listen to the music of the person's voice over the phone. To hear their timbre and texture, what kind of words are they choosing to use to describe what's going on for them? And it helps me to start to understand. And, of course, as we embark on the therapeutic journey, it is an unfolding and a learning process between us as client and therapist.
And is this the ISO principle? Or?
The ISO principle in the context of music therapy is that we're listening in a way to the music of the client, not how they play music, but their own internal rhythm, their melody, their timbre, their texture. Mm. So not only with their voice, but the way that they are moving in space, the way they hold their body. So we're looking at the whole person. And then from the sort of a vibrational standpoint, I might understand, or at least my understanding of that person in my office, that their affect is, it's a little slow, it's a little low, it's a little flat, maybe, if they're depressed. So we might, in music therapy, begin to just work in that modality. So I'm not going to bring them lots of cheery music or try to, quote-unquote, cheer them up.
You're not going to try to get them to dance.
No, unless they want to, right? So it's really about meeting the client where they are. So in the act of musicking together, We're working with what's happening in the moment, so that mm-hmm. the person is in a way the embodiment of music. So as music therapists, it's implicit upon us to have, you know, as many instruments available as possible, so that if a drum is needed or a piano or a guitar or something like this monochord that we heard earlier, or bowls, bells, shakers, rattles, the voice, which is, of course, the quintessential healing instrument. Mm-hmm. So we're using anything that might be that might resonate with the client, what's happening with them in the moment.
Wow. We need a room. We need a room here with just all of these things she mentioned. And does
great.
A client just say, I feel like hitting that, or I feel like playing that, or, you know, do they gravitate to a particular instrument? How does this unfold?
Sure. So we'll find out what's happening for them.
Right.
And I'll invite. So I don't suggest so much, but I invite the possibility of engaging in music. And if the client says, yes, let's do that, we'll do an improvisation. So, for instance, I'll give you an example of a case in which the client was having – there were some difficult family dynamics through the whole family around a particular event. And this client was having a lot of anxiety and not feeling in her power. To give herself voice. So we went around the room and we looked at a bunch of different instruments that would symbolize the different family members. So, for instance, a drum could be dad.
Right.
You know, a big loud voice that was sort of overpowering everyone else. And my client was a bell. You know, trying to break through, but very gentle, a little teeny tiny bell. So from a psychodynamic perspective, the big drum versus the teeny little bell. So we can look at the size, but also the quality of the sound. And then we might do some role play. So I might be dad or I might be my client.
Right.
And we're dialoguing in the music and unpacking the relationship and the dynamics through the music.
Right.
And then we process it verbally afterwards.
Mm. So how about, is your dad a drum or a piano or a G string or an E string or an F or a violin? What is he?
Right.
And your mom, is she the bell?
Maybe
shakers. The potential, we're talking about such potential for psychotherapy and healing
with this. Way.
You know, we have Jason call. We have a call, but I want you to play a little bit more, if you would.
Sure.
And then we'll take the call.
Okay, great.
All right.
Great.
So we're resetting here. But what a beautiful, beautiful description of music therapy and its potential and its possibilities. Imagine you can pick up an instrument or something that will make a sound and it will symbolize the important people in your life.
Mm-hmm.
People who you have issues with, people who you want to get straight with.
Right.
And traditional talking won't do it, but go ahead. That's my cousin. That's not mom or dad, but that's my cousin Johnny. Folks, maybe you need new sounds in your life. Is your refrigerator driving you crazy? Do you have sounds that are always running in your life that are driving you crazy? You might need new sounds. Jason.
Hello.
Hey.
Yes. Hello. How's everyone doing today?
Very good, Jason.
How are you doing today?
I'm great. I've really been loving the show in general. And four very quick points. So I'll make them quicker than some people make one point. Okay.
Go
so
ahead.
We're all balanced out in the end.
Sure.
I'll end with a question. My fourth point will be a question for your guests, but I'll do my first 3 points.
Go ahead.
One is, after listening to yesterday's show, I have turned off my refrigerator, and my life is definitely the better for it.
Beautiful.
Two, when you did this in yesterday's show, when you played The Sound of Silence by Simon & Garfunkel,
yeah.
I'm not sure if it was intentional, but for some reason the mix that came over the radio only had Paul Simon's voice on it and didn't have Art Garfunkel's. Was that intentional?
What about it, Ben?
Well, it's funny you mention that, because we actually received a lot of calls about that. We played an alternate version, and I'm not sure if it was somehow the channels got smushed together going out through our board, or if it was just a recording that sounded like that, but you're not the first person to mention that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I was such a musical genius that I was the only one who picked up on
no,
that.
Yeah, no. Okay. Good ear. Okay. So you listen well. So that's great. We're gonna play the original version today. So
do the Art Garfunkel version instead. See how that's gonna work out.
Yeah, we'll get Art in there. Go ahead. Third point. Go ahead.
Thank you. Third point is that anyone can do sound healing meditations at home with chimes and with gongs and with the Tibetan bowls, and you practice at it, you get better and better at it, and so it's a good way to start the day. And my fourth point is a question for the guest, and then I'll hang up and listen on the air.
Sure.
Everyone has very different tastes in music. They really span the spectrum of sound as it is. As your guest has been noting, it's the soft, calm music is what is good for healing. Okay, point taken. What about the world of aggressive, hardcore, screamo, loud music? Does that create hurtfulness? Why would people be drawn to that kind of music, and does it create harm in the body?
Thanks for your question.
All the order.
Thanks
you
for
it,
your
thanks.
Question. Call us again in the future, but go ahead. Go ahead. I mean, go ahead.
Yeah. Great question and really, really important point.
Yeah.
So as music therapists, we actually are not in the business of having soothing music be healing. Mm-hmm. So if a client of mine comes in, and this has happened many, many times, if there is anger and aggression, we're certainly not going to play anything soothing. We're going to rock out. We have, you know,
really?
Oh yeah, we have amplifiers and like go to 11 and
fantastic.
And a full drum set and you know, I've had people write pretty intense lyrics, very angry, very aggressive, and that's healing because it's an authentic experience. Mm-hmm. It's an authentic feeling that we're unpacking in the therapy. So I'm hopefully giving space and a container of sorts and a safe space to have those feelings where you might say, well, I really don't want to feel so angry. In therapy, I say, go ahead and get angry. Let's go there. And so, you know, and certainly if we're feeling angry, we generally might listen to more aggressive music, right? So when you're feeling sad, you don't gravitate, generally speaking, to happier music, right? I put on Joni Mitchell's Blue, you know, if I really need to go there, right? Because that's again the ISO principle. That's meeting ourselves where we are energetically.
Right.
Now, to the point of sounds that are harmful, when you're talking about decibel level, that's another thing. Sound can be used to harm. Mm-hmm. It has been used to harm. Sound is a very powerful tool. So we have to be careful. And I also want to say that Although, yes, anyone can have it, buy a Tibetan bowl and any instrument and use it to self-soothe. Mm. There are techniques, there are methods, and there's a way of approaching the sound through mindfulness and through intention, and that does take some practice.
And with talking to somebody, though, as you're doing it. We're going to talk a little bit about Jason in a second.
And,
but Ben,
an interesting thing about metal that's, I think, often overlooked is a lot of the influence from it actually came out of classical music, the music of, like, Stravinsky and Liszt. A lot of these kind of virtuoso metal guitar players and other musicians started in classical music.
Okay.
And a lot of the tones and the scales that are used and the phrasing is actually straight out of classical music, but it just has a heavy distortion, so it sounds really aggressive and angry.
So why not use it?
Yeah.
I mean, if it's got that lineage with Liszt and Beethoven or whoever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Beethoven, they were rockers. Especially Liszt. Or Scriabin, or pick your person. It doesn't really matter. Whatever the music is that's resonating with you in that moment, there's nothing quite like going to a punk rock show and sweating and stage diving. You know, it's that's some therapy right there.
Yeah. And we were talking before the show about how the strings on the end of this instrument actually create a perfect fifth, which is like a very stable tone. But the flatted fifth was called the devil's tone in music. It was actually banned. You weren't allowed to play it because it sounds so dissonant.
Really?
Yeah, and that's heavily used in metal, but also became, you know, in later centuries of classical music was, I think, in like the 19th century started becoming used more often. But
what are you feeling right now, Ben?
I'm excited because it's a cool discussion.
You know, you notice Ben is just like
Ben's rocking,
full of life.
Yeah, I can see it.
You know, like once he heard that metal is allowed, you know, it's permitted in your kinds of sessions.
It's not only allowed or permitted; it's desired, right? So it's really not about the agenda of the therapist, right? We're creating the space for whatever needs to happen in the music to happen, and to give voice to it. So whatever it is, and you know, it can be really aggressive. It can go to some pretty dark places. And we, as trained music psychotherapists, we're able to hold a space for that. That's the whole point. Yeah. So yes, I brought these instruments in the realm of what we might call sound healing.
Yeah.
But sound healing, again, it's a tricky word, and it's just tricky. I don't know, for me personally, because healing is a process. Mm-hmm. It's not an end product. It's not an end result.
Yeah.
And we can find healing through a multitude of means. So these are some of my tools, but I love dissonance. I love the minor second. I love the tritone. And when I do sound meditations, I use a lot of dissonance because in that dissonance, not only do you create the binaural beats, which bilaterally stimulates and helps to regulate the central nervous system, but it also helps us to push through. So when we're in a meditation and we are finding ourselves in internal conflict or monkey mind, those are the moments where the juice is. It's like the conflict and the conflict musically and our psychodynamically or emotionally is where all our information is.
Mm-hmm. And there's a time and a place, right? There's a time and a place for every type of music.
Absolutely.
So I think that's also an interesting thing to consider is that, you know, one piece of music may not always be appropriate for every situation that you're in.
Right. But I think, I agree. The potential is surprise. You could be surprised as you're going through this process of music. And I think you'd want to share it with somebody. You'd want to use the words to speak to somebody. Jason makes a good point. You can buy these instruments and soothe yourself somewhat at home. But I think music therapy is a bigger step. It's the next step. You go through this, you explore sound, but then you share it with somebody. You say what this is evoking in me. Is it enough to just find the sound?
Well, that's an interesting question. In therapy is it's about dialogue. It's about the rapport,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So we don't necessarily therapize ourselves, right? I'm seeking therapy, so I'm going to go. But we, of course, we can, right? We can look within. Mm-hmm. We can seek out, you know, so many other external sources to self-soothe or to self-actualize, to unpack and unfold. The unique thing about the therapeutic rapport is that it's the I-thou relationship. It's the space that's held in between the therapist and the client. So the third thing is that space. That's the third entity, and it's a very important one.
Yeah, I think so.
And that's also speaking about music in terms of if the relationship is a piece of music, right?
Mm-hmm.
And our dialogue is a piece of music. The silence is so important. It's as important because it's all part of what the listening process is.
Mm.
We're holding space and we are allowing for whatever happens to happen in our office or in our spaces or healing spaces, and to deeply listen, to really profoundly listen with our whole body.
If you're just joining us, you're tuned into The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM. Our guest today, Katie Down, teaching us a little bit more about sound, continuing our discussion that we started yesterday. I'm Ben Starr here in the studio with Kevin O'Donohue, Nasima Diane Deemer. We're taking your calls, 212-757-5555.
So Jason was a great call. Thank you, Jason, again, for lining him up for us. But, you know, were you tuning into how he was speaking?
I was. It was. I noticed that he had very salient points, one after the other.
Yeah.
We're not here to psychoanalyze you, Jason.
No.
But, you know, and it's really about receiving, right? So Jason called. It takes courage. It takes bravery to
Beautiful.
Be the
Total.
First
right.
caller, to know that there are a bunch of people listening to you. So bravo, Jason. And you sparked a really interesting conversation. So thank you so much for doing that.
Yeah.
And so when anything is laid out, you know, we put our voice out into the world through words, through sound. There's a resonance, and there is it's a continual process, right? So it doesn't go out into the ether. Something gets bounced back.
Yeah. Say more about that.
Well,
I want bouncing back.
Bouncing back. So resonance is, it's a really important part of the sound therapy and music therapy practice. We're resonating now, right?
Yeah, and we often say in therapy, regular talk therapy, does that resonate with you, or what's resonating about that for you?
Right.
But say more about this.
From a musical perspective, like resonance, you make a sound, and then there's some kind of resonance. It depends on the space. If you're in a really non-resonant space, there'll be no echo, right? It's really what that is. So even in the studio, it's not this hugely resonant space. It's pretty sound tight, right? Whereas in a church or, you know, in a place with like a lot of hard surfaces or high ceilings, you've got a lot of resonance, a lot of echoing back. So if we're thinking about psychodynamically, psychotherapeutically, I say something, does it resonate with you? What happens in your body, in your mind's eye, in your emotional landscape that is in response to whatever has been posited, whatever's been offered? So in music therapy, that resonance, again, I'll say something, quote unquote, in music, with my music. As the therapist, I might make a musical offering, and then my client will respond. They're resonating with whatever is offering. If you look at two tuning forks, right?
Okay.
And a tuning fork is struck, and another tuning fork, which is of the same, it's composed of it's the same fork, right?
Mm-hmm.
It will sound, right? Because the sound waves travel,
right?
And then they cause the other tuning fork to make music. So you might hear this kind of weird phenomenon. You touch something and something else vibrates. That's the law of resonance. So it's, you know,
wow,
physics too.
Do you say that what you said as a therapist, do you say what you said resonated with me? Do you ever add your own resonance?
What do you mean? I'm sorry.
Like when a client, you know, when a client has played music or something and shared what they're feeling and what's resonating, and do you ever share, well, how it hits you, how it lands for you?
Sure. At times, it depends on the client. It depends on the therapy. Sure. Okay. Absolutely.
Just checking. You're listening to Katie Down here at The Positive Mind. We're about to take our musical reset. You can give us a call for the second half of the show, 212-757-5555. We'd love to hear your reactions to this. Jason, we thank you again for that first call. You got us going. And let's hear it.
That was beautiful, Katie. Katie down here in the studio on 99.5 FM WBAI as we continue our discussion about sound. And Katie is a music therapist, among other disciplines, and we're very lucky and happy to have you here in the studio with us today. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to The Positive Mind, 99.5 FM WBAI. We're taking your calls at 212-757-5555.
Katie. What a unique experience. Only on WBAI, folks. This is why we need your support here at this station during fund drives. We get to, where else are you going to hear this, folks? You're listening to a licensed creative arts therapist, a music therapist, a person who brings sound and lets you bring your sound to your healing process. Where else are you going to hear this, folks? We need your contributions during these fund drives, so please keep us in mind. Let's go to the second half of the show. We do have callers, but Nasima, what's hitting you?
Well, I was so curious when we spoke earlier about how you see this the body as a sound body. And I was just wondering if you could talk a little more about that. Mm.
Sure. So from my perspective, I guess, I'm looking at whoever's coming to my office for something, either music therapy or a one-time healing event.
Experience. Can I come?
Yeah.
I want
sure.
one.
Come on down.
I just want to see what happens.
So some people might come just for one, so
okay.
a sound
right.
and Reiki session.
Okay.
Or they may be coming for a much longer process in psychotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
The body tells us everything, right? The body holds the score. We know this book. And so from a somatic psychotherapy perspective, everything is held in our physical body. But we also have this energy field, right? So you can sense that, especially like if there's somebody who's very manic versus somebody who's clinically depressed, mm-hmm. that energy field waxes and wanes.
Right.
And the way the body is held. So the body is, in a sense, also a piece of music. So we're looking at the way we move. So music is just movement. It's just vibration. Mm-hmm. Vibration is movement, right?
Right.
So
right.
we're made of vibration, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's simply just the truth of it, right? So there's always all this stuff going on, right? So we have our heart and our lungs and our blood and our respiratory system, you know, coughing, sneezing,
yeah.
right? We're these sonic beings. And and of course, some people are mute, right? They don't use their voice, but they're still sonic beings. Or if the person is not able to hear, they're
yeah.
deaf, they're still able to feel.
Right.
Evelyn Glennie is actually a good example of, she's an amazing percussionist who lost her hearing, I think, at an early age, and she's deaf, and she's an incredibly accomplished percussionist. And she talks about how her relationship to sound changed when she realized she could feel the sound.
Mm.
And so we're feeling all the time.
Mm.
And so looking at the music body, right, as a repository and receptacle for sound, for vibration,
mm-hmm.
and also an entity that creates music. So we can create music by movement. So if I'm bringing my hand up, all the way, you're looking at it, it's a fluid motion.
Mm.
What would the music be of that simple gesture, right, versus something more kinetic or frenetic? So the music of movement, the music of gesture, the music of the way we're holding our bodies in space.
Right.
So that is, I don't know if it's necessarily a diagnostic tool. It's an observational tool. It's just more information for me to gather and to notice and witness or bear witness to, and then also to be a divine mirror. So if a client is depressed, I might notice or even mirror back their physical language. So they're really being seen.
Mm.
They're being heard physically.
Mm. And intentionally. Yeah. And you're showing them intentionally.
Yes.
I mean, we do that as regular therapists too.
Yeah.
Gestalt therapy. But to actually tell them in advance, I'm going to mirror you. I'm going to.
I may not tell them in
you
advance.
You might even tell them, but they'll notice.
They may not notice.
Okay.
It's that kind of thing where we notice on a visceral level rather than a cognitive level.
Mm-hmm.
We're noticing on an energetic level.
We have Nadine on the line. Sorry, we got so into this. I think we could talk all show, but let's take a call. Hi, Nadine.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you today?
I'm on a second time speaker, so I'm very proud of this. So thank you, guys.
How's your sound today?
After hearing you guys, it's bringing an enlightenment into my life. So I thank you for that teaching educational experience for me.
Sure.
And thanks for everything that you guys do. It really brings a new evaluation to myself.
Great. Did you have a question for Katie, or you just want to?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yes, you guys use that musical reset term, which is fantastic in terms of going to my classroom with special needs children. And a lot of them have emotional problems and autism in different levels. And when you said the musical reset, before they start to snowball into an uncontrollable state, I was planning on using that whole idea.
Yeah.
And if you have suggestions on how it could be helpful in the classroom.
Great. Yeah. Go ahead.
That's a great question. There are many music therapists out there who are working specifically with children on the autism spectrum, with behavioral challenges and emotional challenges. And, of course, we're all on the spectrum. So some of us more than others, right?
True.
And we all have our our gifts and our challenges. But with kids who are diagnosed in that, there are music therapists that are specialists in that field. I'm not. If you wanted to get in touch with me, I would be happy to tell you a little bit more about that. But as a general rule, with autism, There's a lot of sensory stuff with those kids. So some kids have a kind of a sensory overload. They're prone to that. So I would say, as a music therapist, I would be careful in terms of too many intense sounds, but also to let the kids touch and feel the instruments as much as possible, to give them a sense of really feeling, smelling, tasting as much as possible, give them a full sensory experience with an instrument. So looking at what instrument would be appropriate for that. And I have worked with children with behavioral challenges. And it's really about, again, the therapeutic rapport, holding that child, giving them a sense that it's safe for them to explore and to feel what they're feeling. And so I'm happy to talk off the air with you about
it. Yeah, we'll tell you at the end of the show, Nadine. You still there?
Thank you so much. Thank you, guys.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, 212-757-5555. Go ahead. I mean, it's hitting so many nerves here.
It's so interesting because I've started to work with one young man who's doing the middle ear process and tuning the stapedius muscles, and it's just an amazing thing to sort of step into working with the whole sound and hearing sensory apparatus, and how much it affects the nervous system. Another thing that I was curious about pain.
Yeah, but before that, traumatic brain injury, because she was talking about the spectrum and Nadine's experience.
Okay.
What about traumatic brain injuries and how music therapy helps with that?
So there is a training in neurologic music therapy, and it's some music therapists are specialists.
Tell me your experience.
So my experience, I have two clients right now who are neurologic patients. With very different goals, because their situations are very different. One is on a kid, a little kid, and one is an elder. So I've been working with them for about 5 years.
Wow!
And my goals are different for them.
Sure.
For the child, it's really we're looking at kind of developing, and we're helping him to feel mastery using fine motor skills, which he doesn't really have very much of.
Mm-hmm.
He's gotten better, right, of course, over the years. As we develop, just even without a TBI, we improve our fine motor skills because little kids are still kind of figuring out the grasp and
all
of that stuff.
Right.
So we do a lot of repetition. We do a lot of movement. We do a lot of bilateral stimulation in the form of walking, marching, patting on either side of the body, using mallets, and using patty cake kind of songs, and then a lot of repetition. So things that are within his capacity to understand, and then over time with repetition he will begin to retain, and so we're getting the synapses to fire. So that's he's having an authentic experience. He's having fun. He's engaging in music, which he loves, and which is the most important thing.
Right.
And then I, as the music therapist, am able to take a look at how's he walking, how's his gait, is he able to hold the mallet for more than 30 seconds, you know, how, what's the improvement, what are our goals, right? So these are very goal-oriented therapy, which is a little different than like a psychotherapy session. And then with my older client, again, looking at her ability to engage in music in a way that is gives her a sense of mastery, where she might have other challenges. The one thing that she is able to really master is her music and our music together.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about closure. I mean, how important is closure to each session? And how do you bring a session to a close?
It of course unfolds in different ways, because I'm not just a music therapist, but closure is very important because you want to be able to send your client out into the world after a 55-minute session or hour and a half or whatever it is, and let them know that it's okay to go out there and that this was our process. We may come back to it the following week.
Sure.
Right?
Oh,
let's revisit what
we did
last session. Or maybe it's not appropriate, and that's been there, done that, you know.
Right.
But closure is extremely important because it's all part of the container and the safety.
Yeah. Because you're opening, I mean, I think you're opening pretty wide in this experience. And then you want to bring it, as you get to the end of the session, not go out there into the world, this wide open person.
Right.
You need somehow to finish the container.
Close
the session.
And even if they are feeling wide open, if feeling wide open is what they want and need, you can still have closure, right? So that wide open, broken open heart, right?
Why close that?
Can be exactly,
right?
Well, we should all be there.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
But you can still have a sense that whatever process unfolded is closed and safe, right?
Thank you. We have Kevin on the line. Hey, Kevin. 212-757-5555, 212-757-5555. Hey, Kevin.
Hey.
Are you Irish?
How's it going?
Good.
No, I'm not Irish.
Okay.
I've got Irish heritage, though.
Kevin, could you just do me a favor, turn down your radio.
Oh, yeah, sure. Is that okay?
That's perfect.
Okay, cool. So I just wanted to thank Katie for her words, first of all. This is Kevin Steele. She's a good buddy of mine.
Oh,
hey, Kevin.
Hey. Okay, so go ahead. Say whatever you want to say.
I'm calling from Baltimore, Maryland.
Wow. WBAI.org. You're streaming us in. Go ahead. So.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm a musician as well, and I've worked with Katie on a couple of projects. But, you know, I'm actually quite ill, and I'm a 46-year-old male with cystic fibrosis.
Uh-oh.
And I'm going through some latter-stage complications involving chronic illness. And I guess I had some questions for Katie regarding her work for patients with chronic illness in particular.
Great question.
The question I have is... I guess it's twofold. It's the first part is in helping patients with chronic illnesses, in particular those who have been musicians in the past, when they lose their aptitude for the music they've been making, in particular with myself, I've been a singer, and with the complications that have arisen from CF, I've had a lot of difficulty singing the way I've been most of my life. So I guess with regarding music therapy, what recommendations would she have for continuing the love for the thing, even though it's not entirely possible, the way to do it you used to do it?
Okay.
And also, not just in that respect, but how that becomes a healing agent for people with chronic illnesses across all the boards. So, you know, not end of life necessarily, situations with chronic illness, but how her work or experience working with people with chronic illnesses can give us some insight into a healing process.
Okay, let's hear it. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you so much, Kevin, and I love you very much. So first of all, Kevin is an incredibly gifted musician. I just want to put that out there, with an amazing voice and capacity to really heal as a performer, heal the audience, heal the people who are lucky enough to hear his music.
Is that what he tries to do? Is that his profession?
No. Oh, okay. He's just an amazing performer. But, you know, when we experience incredible performers at a high level, we feel something, right? It takes us to this other place.
Absolutely.
So even if the intention isn't that, the result can be. All right, so I'm just giving you a little shout out, Kev, because you deserve it. But it's a very thoughtful and important question with chronic illness, because in music therapy, we're meeting the client with where they are. So it's not a goal of, like, let's get you singing again, or let's get you playing the piano like you used to. Mm-hmm. It's dealing with the new normal. And it doesn't mean that you can't get back what you had. It doesn't mean that. It just means that if that journey is a little bit more daunting, right, or it's unknown if it'll ever come back, it's really about allowing whatever is happening in the here and now. So looking at like a stroke patient, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And I can speak from personal experience because my mother suffered a stroke, a pretty severe one. And so her new normal was very different, and her music was very different. So we worked with, as her daughter, I worked with didn't really work, you know, I was almost like caring for her, but her new normal and her vibration was very, very different. She was a type AAA, things slowed down.
Mm-hmm.
So with Kevin and CF in particular, we're dealing with lung issues, and I would immediately start to ask, like, what is your breathing like? What is the rhythm of your breath? Let's do some toning together. Let's find where you are in your music right now with your voice.
Mm.
What do you want in the now for your voice in your music? What do you want to deliver as a performer? What do you want to engage in as a musician, right? So as musicians, we get to have this wonderful optimal experience, right? The flow when we're in music and we're in that process of musicking. And if we suffer an injury or if we have a chronic illness and that new normal has taken us to this other place, how can we still experience that optimal feeling, that optimal flow? We can. And it's just a matter of accepting the new normal and then pushing through, and finding that joy, right? That connection. It's still there.
Beautiful. Right. Beautiful. Thank you, Kevin, for that call. Can we take Armand or no? Okay. Let's talk about a couple other things. What is a sound?
Sound bath. Yeah.
What's a sound bath? We had to get that in because we mentioned it yesterday. Get ready to hear about a sound bath. We said that yesterday. So tell the people what's a sound bath.
Tell us about a sound bath.
I feel like I've been in some kind of bath this whole
It is warm
this
in
whole
here,
show.
So it is warm.
Right.
So a sound bath, people use this term sound bath meditation, sound immersion, sound, you know, sonic massage.
Okay.
I mean, there's many different ways to describe the phenomenon of what we might call a horizontal meditation with sound, using deeply resonant instruments, using what I term therapeutic musical drone instruments, which are the instruments that we've heard today, the monochord and the handpan, but also crystal bowls and Himalayan bowls, voice, of course, and then a multitude of instruments.
You're going to have to take us out with music, but first tell us about that and then take us out with some music.
Well, we'll just say that we can. You can come to...
Yeah, you can come to a sound bath here at the Positive Mind Center on April 14th. It's going to be on our website, positivemindcenter.com.
And also, you guys, you can go onto my website if you want, which is soundwellcenter.com. And I do offer a lot of different trainings, and I have one coming up at the Center for the Advancement of Therapeutic Arts, CATA.
And where are you located? Here in New York?
I am located in New York.
God bless. Please take us out with some music. A nice little bath for you folks. Do you need to reset? Do you need to let some music, a new sound into your system? Do you need to get your own sound out? We all have a sound. We all have many, many sounds, really. Can you let sound heal you? Thank you, folks, for listening to us at The Positive Mind on WBAI 99.5 in New York. We are back from this planet to another planet on Tuesday next week. That's right, folks. You can take a time travel and feel another planet just by sound. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Katie. Thanks, Ben and Nisima.